All right, it is your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest here on 92.7 FM WMDX. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show, and she does get it from her mama. Rest in peace, mama. Love you for always. So I'm so excited to be back in the house, y'all. You know, I'm still, you know, I keep telling Civic Media, they got to give me more time. I need a morning show. I need to, like, we need to create this Breakfast Club thing, because this whole hour here, hour there, I'd be confused, y'all. I'd be knowing where I'm at. I'd be having so much to say and so much to share, but we're going to go ahead and just, you know what? I think I'm going to start a petition. That's what I'm going to do.
You do all your homework, too, and you bring me all these clips and things you want to cover, Brandi, and then we get so into catching up and, like, spilling the tea that we don't do any of the homework.
I know, like,
the homework is for nothing.
That's because I need more time. We need like a 3-hour show. We're going to have to figure this thing out. I'm going to look, listeners, y'all need to go ahead and start calling Civic Media and be like, we need more Brandi. We need her. We need her. Okay. We need a Black girl in the morning. We need a Breakfast Club locally. And then we should have like a podcast with a couch. Then people can just come up here and we could do little, you know, like little parties out there. We could, I'm telling you. We
act like we're a big, the plans.
We act like we're a big city. Okay. Like a little talk show city. Okay. Anyway, y'all. So last week, there was so much I didn't get to. Last week, we were celebrating Juneteenth, and I didn't even get the opportunity to tell y'all or educate y'all on Juneteenth or to provide my Black history moment in Black history. And I'm going to make sure I do that today. And last week, we ended on me, you know, telling y'all some of my personal tea, how I needed to clean up my house and clear my drawers out, and I couldn't sleep. And then I kept moving my partner's clothes and shoes out of my room, then into another closet, and out of that closet. It was almost like my spirit was like, girl, it's time to let go. And then I was at his house, y'all, and he did a couple things. And it wasn't that they were bad things, but it was like confirmation that there wasn't the love that I needed, right? Like there's this kind of, you could feel it, y'all. That's what I'm saying. Like in relationships, you can feel it when the relationship has run its course. So I was sitting there, and he said something. I literally, y'all, just got up, walked out, sent a text. I'm done. It's over. And I ain't spoke to him yet. Ain't spoke to him since. Because I ain't got time for it, y'all. I ain't got time for the excuses, none of that. I just ain't got time. So nevertheless, I shared that tea last week. I also got into, I wanted to share last week with you guys what happened at a fundraiser I was at. So I had shared for a second that I was at this Wisconsin Dem fundraiser with a couple states senators or whatever. One, I'm not even going to tell you where they're from because then you might, I'm not going to say any names, y'all. I don't be wanting no problems. I just be wanting the space and the freedom to speak my experience, right? And I'm learning that I can speak my experience without saying people names, but I know people still going to be offended. Because like I said last week, y'all, even when I engaged in a conversation about people known as Black being in America's prior to Columbus, I offended someone. And not because I legitimately said, we are you, you are us, but I just by the inference of so, like, who are you not to be anything but a slave? That's how I feel sometimes. But anyway, let's not get back there. We're not going to go back there. We're going to move forward. So today I want to do a couple things. I want us to actually talk about Black history and talk about Juneteenth and why Juneteenth is celebrated on June 19th. And the celebration at Penn Park last week on the 21st was amazing. And all the other celebrations that occurred, Julian Walters broke ground on Park Street at the new apartments it was the 19th. It was actually on Juneteenth. So just acknowledging all that Black brilliance and excellence moving in Dane County in Madison. The Black Excellence Center will be done soon. We're super excited about that. That's happening on Park Street. Shout out to Nehemiah, Pastor G, Laleda G, and everybody else that's moving that work forward. So let's talk about Juneteenth. Go ahead for me, Luke. Let's play that clip that we didn't get to play last week.
Glorified Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation for freeing slaves. But if we're being real, it only applied to slaves who lived near Union lines, where they could flee his or her plantation or take advantage of opportunities in the North. Around 500,000 Black people managed to do this. These Black people freed themselves. Juneteenth, or June 19th, is a powerful moment in Black history, dating back to June 19th, 1865, the day Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon Granger went into Galveston, Texas, with news that the Civil War was over and Texas's 250,000 slaves were now officially free. Yes! 1865? That's a whole 2.5 years after Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. In those 2 years, Black people's newfound freedom was rejected by white people. But General Granger bossed up and issued an order to the people of Texas proclaiming all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. And the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. And Juneteenth was born, our Independence Day, our July 4th. Of course, it wasn't black and white like that. We weren't free. They just announced it. This new freedom sparked a violent backlash from white people. Surprise! Former Confederate soldiers, still in uniform and with guns, intimidated black people, continuing a new form of slavery. They did this by murdering, lynching, and harassing the freed slaves. Hashtag Reconstruction Era. But we are a resilient people. None of their intimidation tactics could stop our ancestors from accepting and celebrating their freedom. And they celebrated defiantly because you know white people were hating. The first public Juneteenth event took place in 1866. Former slaves read the Emancipation Proclamation, something pretty gangster to do in the 1860s South. They also sang spirituals and played games. The freed men and women of Texas took their celebrations wherever they went. Los Angeles, Oakland, Seattle, Chicago, Virginia, you name it. By the 20th century, the Jim Crow laws were in full effect. Freedom started to feel like a foreign concept, and Juneteenth celebrations didn't happen as often. But the fight to freedom had to continue. The Poor People's March of 1968 brought new life into the holiday. In 1980, Texas recognized it as a state holiday. And in 1997, Congress recognized June 19th as Juneteenth Independence Day. It's been over 150 years since the first Juneteenth. Isn't it time Juneteenth became a national holiday?
Well, this is old. It is now a national
holiday ever. Barbecues, music,
you can stop it, Lou. Dancing. I just wanted to give you guys kind of like a little more than a history, but kind of like the progression of it, right? So I hope that was helpful. And one of the things that I hope that happens for us, excuse me, as people known as Black, is that we are more intentional and deliberate in celebrating Juneteenth. Because on June 4th, y'all be out here with all kind of fireworks. You be rocking American flags, American family flags, shorts and T-shirts. Y'all be spending a lot of money. So I hope that in my lifetime that we get to the point that we're celebrating the freedom of our freedom. That, you know, the American freedom is not, it doesn't really represent our freedom very well. But anyway, I just wanted to provide that little snippet of dipper there. And also, I wanted to talk about quickly, I talked a lot last week about how freedom isn't the same as liberation, and that liberation is one of those things that happens from deliberate, intentional work with inside yourself. Because for me, and I might, you know, my belief might be a little bit different than yours, but for me, liberation is an internal I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an internal awareness of how you're showing up and who you are, with the intention of freeing yourself from deep-seated beliefs and ideologies that's been put on us from existing in the context of white supremacy. And that's for all of us. On the Black Conversion Show here again on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson, I always do my best to try to inform, educate, and center those who are Black, because that's kind of what I do in my life. And also, I want to hold the space for us to always think of the work, anti-racism work, as an opportunity to expand ourselves and to challenge these beliefs. And when you can do that, when you can challenge your most deep-seated beliefs, that is where, for me, true liberation occurs. Because like I said last week, I know I speak from the lens of a cis-hetero experience, but I don't speak for everybody, right? And I've had to confront in my own work my deepest beliefs that were sometimes rooted in harm and characteristics shaped by white supremacy. And when we can do that, when we can look at our deep-seated beliefs and recognize that they're harmful, that's where liberation comes. It's an internal freedom from white supremacy. I hope that makes sense, y'all. And I hope that's what we're all striving to experience. Hey, Luke, my white producer, what was your first time being exposed to Juneteenth or even the conversation around Juneteenth?
So the first time that I remember, and this is like I was post-college, and the show Atlanta by Donald Glover.
I don't remember that show.
Atlanta is fantastic. It's funny, but there's some dark humor to it, and it's Childish Gambino, Donald Glover serving as he's an up and coming artist in Atlanta, and he and the woman he's seeing at the time get invited to a Juneteenth celebration. But the kind of dark humor in it is it's thrown by a white man that is very, very, very like into
black culture.
and so like I forget the character's name, but Donald Glover's character is like uncomfortable throughout the whole process, and a lot of people are, but nobody wants to say anything, and it's so like, but that was really my first like I had heard of it and referenced it, but that was the first time where I was really learning a lot about Juneteenth, was that lens of pop culture and covering it that way. It's to me, I'm like, how did I not learn more about this holiday coming up through school, through like elementary school, middle school, high school, college? Like, how is this not talked about more? And I feel like we as a nation only really started having that the national conversation about it in the last, five or six years.
It's true. And you, the question, it was so funny. You said, how could I not know? You know how you could not know.
I know, but that's the first question that I had myself when I was first discovering it. And yes, looking back, it's like, yes, I know why it's not talked about. And it's honestly a shame that it's not talked about.
I feel that. They do lift the Juneteenth flag, I believe, at the state capitol. They might even do it over the municipal building, which is the jail. And I remember the first time they raised the Juneteenth flag. I was so mad over the jail, y'all. And this was the first year that Sheriff Barrett was the sheriff. And I was at the park and I confronted him. It was a Juneteenth celebration. I was like, brother, why did you do this? You know, because, you know, we involved. Why would you lift the flag? It was such a, you know, over the building that commodifies black people and enslaved them. And he was like, sis. That's how some black people be me. Like, come on, sis. Like, come on. And ever since that day, when I had that conversation with him, we've been cool as heck. And I was like, well, you need to let me in there. We need to do other things and educate. And I was going in on him.
That sounds about right.
It does sound about right. But let me just recognize that I love him. I think he's a great person. I think he does his job well, and giving the context of his job in a system that's rooted in white supremacy and racism, it has to be hard. I also just heard that they have just promoted their first, a black woman was just promoted deputy sheriff or something, first time in Dane County history. Shout out to y'all for that. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM. Your girl, Brandi Grayson. Stay tuned. I got more tea and politics when we return.
I'm so deep in my bag, like a grandma with a peppermint. They say, oh, she smell good. That's just cause I'm heaven sent. Game goes stupid, stepping like.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, y'all, you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, the hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. And in the studio today, this stranger has walked in.
Hey, y'all, it's your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Y'all know about favorite no more. You more like Chad.
The regular Clyde for now. Don't worry, be y'all favorite in like two, three episodes.
That's Chad. Chad is our co-host today. He showed up out the blue. Lou. You know, he's supposedly back from Italy.
Then she gives me this white man name. Girl, here we go.
Well, welcome back, Chad. I'm glad you could join me today on the Black Conversion Show. But we're going to get right into it, like always. You know, I did not in the last segment, we didn't do an introduction. So let's back up. Let's do our little clearing since he and you showed up late. So then we're just going to go ahead and let you teach us or tell us what you've been up to. What you've been up to, Cousin Clyde?
Working as always. You guys know how the work that we all do around here is grunt work. So I've been working extremely tired, but that's okay. I'm taking care of myself. I'm making sure that I have a little bit more time in my day to breathe. Mm-hmm. So I've been working on like breathing techniques for the last several weeks. They've been working, been clearing my mind, clearing my soul. And so that's about it. I'm here. How have you been doing, sister?
You know, I've been doing all right. You know, I got this Woman of Distinction Award last
week.
Okay, from the YWCA. I'm still on the high from that. I also got an award from the Black Student Union from Memorial High School.
Congratulations.
So shout out to the youth. I always think it's amazing when your community recognizes mm-hmm. you in the work, and especially youth, because I'm telling you, the youth don't play. They ain't inviting everybody into their space. They don't care how much a leader you call yourself, a community worker. Okay. So shout out to the Black Student Unions who recognize me. So I'm really doing okay. Urban Triage has been carrying a lot. A lot of our grants and programs had been frozen because of the Trump administration. Mm. And now there's a couple that's been unfrozen at the same time. So that's hard for us too because of capacity. So we're trying to figure out how to get things implemented and going because it was frozen, we didn't do hiring for some of the positions that we need mm-hmm. because we didn't know if the money was coming. So we're excited to announce that our YHSI, which is the Youth Housing System Improvement Demonstration Grant, $2 million has been unfrozen.
Beautiful.
Hopefully we'll be able to get our grant agreement soon. And that's a statewide initiative. We're working with organizations throughout the state of Wisconsin to improve the system, the HMIS system for enrolling folks into the program, if that makes sense.
Nice. Can I jump back in? Mm-hmm. I also received the Service Overall Award from Urban Triage.
Oh, yeah, you sure
Black
did.
Excellence Event.
Yes,
so,
you did.
Yes, let me throw that
Black
out there.
Brilliance, okay.
Okay, here
Black
we go.
Black Brilliance Award.
Yeah, Black Brilliance. Sorry.
Yes. It was an honor for us to recognize you and all your amazing
work
in the community, working
Thank
with
you.
Youth and arts and dance, and also just being an advocate and a person who will push the envelope, whether people like your words or tone. And I just appreciate everyone who shows up authentically in the work, especially for
welcome.
Black people. So we appreciate you, Clyde, Cousin Clyde.
Welcome.
And here on the Black Conversion Show, we're going to get down to the politics in tea. Y'all know y'all love the tea. Like, there's so much going on, but I think what I want to do is I want you, Dominic, to play the clip, because we also want to honor Juneteenth that happened this month,
yes.
June 19th, in celebration and recognizing Black freedom. I wouldn't say liberation. I would just say freedom, physical freedom. And liberation, I believe, comes when we can look at the attributes of white supremacy that we all embody, and also looking at how we settle for mediocrity mm-hmm. in a work and in our community, settling for, you know, things that we should not be selling, this performative thing, and then honoring it as if that's what should be done. But whenever you're done, whenever you're ready, Dominic, go ahead. And there's going to be some cuss words. It'll be blurted out. So don't worry about Dominic.
It's the first one you sent me, right? It's that first one, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Awesome.
Let's do that. This is Google. It's not, Google wasn't made by a Black person, so no one can say shit to us. So,
Africans are around 7 million years old.
How old are Europeans? We're 7 million years old. All right. Happy birthday, African. I don't know what day it was on.
But we've been here 7 million
years. How old are Europeans?
The genetic lineage of Europe mysteriously transformed about 4,500 years ago.
Mm. Are you f-ing kidding me?
Okay, hold on.
You're 4,500 years old. And we 7 million.
Well, African civilization was 3150 BC. I think this is a more complicated question. So the oldest civilization is from Southern Africa, the San people from Southern Africa.
The San people that look Asian, yes. Mesanpi, that's where everybody's traced from. You can see the documentary, The Journey of Man, where this white guy, who's a geneticist, proved that. The Journey of Man, it's on YouTube. They even have a book. This white dude went out, so you guys will believe it. Blonde-haired white guy wanted to find out the origin of everyone, and they trace it back to the San people who are from South Africa, who have Asiatic faces. That is where Asian people have their faces from. The Asian look is African. It is not from China. It's from Africa. There are African tribes that have Asiatic faces. That's where it comes from. People come from Africa. Why are we surprised? There are albino Africans. That's all I'm saying. So
right, I think I was actually wrong. I think the whole 4.5 million, because I don't think humans were around millions of years ago.
We're a couple hundred thousand years. We're oldest people.
I thought it was so funny that this in celebration of Juneteenth, in celebration of our heritage, it just keeps coming to mind about how we don't know where we're from. And also, that's why I said I don't want to offend people. This is not to say that Chinese people were saying that we own China or we own their history. None of that is what I'm saying. I'm just want us to get into discovery of how deep the roots of Africans run, and the fact that people known as Black, the folks here in America, we are disconnected from our African roots. So we are still in discovery of who we are, where we come from, and what that means to be Black here in America and our lineage. So as we continue to think about our freedom and our liberation, continue to read, continue to question. And one thing that stood out to me, he said, the white man said it, because as soon as a Black person says something is true, it becomes untrue because is coming from Blackness. But we'll go ahead and have that conversation when we return here on 92.7 FM WMDX, the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson and
your favorite cousin Clyde.
We'll be back in a jiff. All right, you are back here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and...
your favorite cousin, Chad.
Yes, it's Chad. We didn't change Clyde to Chad.
It is Clyde, y'all.
Here on the Black Conversion Show. So prior to break, we were just talking about Juneteenth honoring African lineage and legacy. And we heard a clip about, you know, if you search Google, you ask how long have Africans been on the earth, they say 7 million. Some scientists have located African bones dating back to 11 million years ago, compared to Europeans who have been on this earth genetically, which is also a complicated conversation with nuances, of course, for about 4,500 years. Mm-hmm. I won't go into anything other than that, just that Black people and people known as Black just know that you are the beginning of time, my dear, and no one has been able to prove that not factual. Mm-hmm. So when we're standing on the shoulders of our ancestors, know that you have contributed to every piece of humanity. Mm-hmm. And if we can move from that place, that is where we gain our power and love. Now, I want to talk about now, which is a weird transition because I go from Black power, Black love. And now I want to talk about men, generally men, not Black men, not all men. I think this is a general conversation and a trend because of patriarchy, because of sexism. And if you guys study sexism and racism, we know that sexism is the foundation of racism, which means that it predates racism. There was sexism before there was racism. There were, you know, people, you know, wanting to have dominion over their women bodies. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, and still do.
And still do. And so it predates racism, and racism is founded on sexism. And I know it's hard for people to have the conversation about the in-depth embedded hate of women by men, but it's true. And what I'm hoping is that we can continue to have these conversations and not from a place of male bashing or hate or, you know, because anytime you tell your truth, people feel like you shouldn't, especially as Black women. That only happens to Black women. White women speak their truth, they say you're brave. Mm-hmm. Black women speak their truth, they say you're dishonoring your culture, or you need to be more this. And no, I encourage all of us to speak our truth. And if my truth hurts you because you caused harm to me, then maybe you shouldn't have caused that harm, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe you should think about how to move differently in your life. So I want to keep this conversation open because patriarchy, misogyny keeps showing up in my own life with these white men who stalk me. So it's not just Black men. This is some in-depth, embedded indoctrination into our society.
In their DNA.
Yeah. And what's your thoughts before we play this clip?
Let's watch the clip.
Okay, listen to it first.
And I'm gonna go off the clip.
Okay. Chad over here like, I ain't wanna give my opinion. No, yeah. Go ahead, Dominic, with the clip for me.
Don't like women, for real. They don't. They like women sexually, but they don't like women. They're not attracted to what a woman is outside of her sexual organs. Mm. So then when we get into why a lot of men womanize, or why it's just they're minimizing a woman based off of who she slept with or who she potentially can sleep for, it, because it's like you haven't gained the appreciation of the wholeness of a woman yet, and what that wholeness of a woman can bring to your life. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we'll talk about strength and we'll say men are stronger than women, but that's because we value physical strength. Mm. We're not talking about emotional strength, spiritual strength. Yeah. We're not talking about the type of strength that can run a household. And we're not putting that same type of weight. And what I would encourage, and this was the shift that I had to do, is I had to start liking the wholeness of a woman outside of sex. And then when you do that, now you appreciate the things a complete woman can bring to your life. When we talk about the Bible talks about finding a capable wife, right? That capable wife, that person that if you was to stumble, can pick up the ball and start running. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of men that have just a wife because they was only concerned about what she can do in the bed.
Yeah.
And so what I'm just encouraging men to do is just like, and it's for our own benefit, because a lot of us, especially men with some type of means, we end up finding a dependent, not a partner. Yeah, she can fuck us good. But if you was able to stumble, bro, what the fuck is gonna happen with your family? And so I just encourage men to be, I'm not going to say more, because that's unrealistic to a lot of men, but as attracted to what she brings as a feminine energy to your life outside of just what you're doing.
Check this out. So to that point,
a lot of heterosexual men don't like women.
Okay, you can stop, Dominic, and start it over. Okay, what's your opinion, Chad? So I'm just kidding. Me, this is Cousin Clad, y'all.
For me, I just heard my pastor Everett Mitchell preach about this several weeks ago, and how when higher power came down while Adam was sleeping plays a big part in this, and he removed his rib to create a woman. That we forget the message that when God created women, he didn't have any input from man to do so because Adam was sleeping. And so we, for some reason, feel like we own the right to women in some shape, form, or fashion. And sometimes, like he said, it's in a sexual matter. And do I think that man just sexualized women off bat? No, I think women sometimes, you know, carry the weight a little bit themselves. But I say that to say women do bring a lot more to the table. And I'm a true believer that if we actually stop and just listen to women and give them the opportunity to be them be their whole selves, they will solve half the problems in the world, if not all of them. And I've experienced that from having a mother. Yeah. I've experienced that from being in business and having business partners, having board representation of being women, and then especially Black women. Like, it's something about a Black woman.
Yes, it is.
That is like, where did she and how did she figure this out? Just all around the board, health, healing you, spiritually, mentally, just bringing it all back together. It's always like,
with no degrees.
Yeah.
And with the most degrees, let me add.
Yeah. So, but I don't know why in 2025 men are just so different.
Yeah, it's a complex conversation, y'all, with lots of nuances. So I want to give it that. But from your perspective as a male, a gay male, and someone who's around, you know, men, women, and in different circles and identities, intersections, why do you think it's so pervasive? Like, what is it about women that's offensive? And we're talking about men. We're talking about gay men too, hetero men. It doesn't matter. What is so offensive about women? Like, what is it that drive people crazy?
They're sweet people. I feel like women are just so sweet and innocent, and so they show up.
I don't know about sweet.
No, but listen, in my way, right?
They just
show up in such a way that, no shade, you can offend a woman and give her a couple minutes, a couple hours, or a couple days. She will love you again unconditionally. Mm. And I think that
God spirit.
Yes. And I feel like for men, they don't have that. So they look at a woman like she's incompetent because of all of her beautiful ways. And it's like, no, we actually need to learn how to embody that, right? Yeah. And one experience that I've learned as an adult is with an individual that I'm really close with, and I watched how this person treated his his wife, his daughter, his mother. And I had to say to him, like, the fact that you have treated all the women in your life this way tells me that you actually hate women, right? And you haven't even given your daughter a chance. You haven't given your mother a chance, nor have you given your wife a chance. And I really had to check this guy. So I also think as we men that love women, we also need to start defending women. And we also need to start checking other men about their behavior, right? Because men are just downright like disrespectful sometimes to women. And it's like, who checks them? Yeah. Another man needs to check them.
Another man. That's what we need, you know? And this is not all men, because God has been putting men, just like sprinkling men around me that have been showing provision, like this sense of, I got you, sis. You know? And I expressed that a little bit last week, that, you know, I was in this situation. I was trying to explain and articulate to someone that Black people were here before being enslaved. That's the only comment I made. And folks was offended, and they got a little aggressive and emotional. And this Black man that I didn't even know stepped in and articulated and translated for the person. And then their energy changed. Because men respect men differently than they do women. It's just what it is. And I think I don't think men play with a lot of men, because I don't think men, I've been in situations, even at work, where I've had male staff like push out their chest to like women leaders and leadership and their management. And then they turn and I'll say to them that person didn't do that, or say that this man, the other male in the space, said it. And they quiet down and won't say nothing. Mm. Like, your bark is always louder when dealing with a woman. Now, these are specific types of men, but I'm saying this specific type of men is growing like a weed. Yeah. And I think we need to just recognize it. And we need other men to step in and to start teaching and modeling, because men, there's too many households without male figures, grandpas, and how to do it and how to provide provision and what it means to be a male. And we also need right here, and just so you guys know, I'm going to stop for a second. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson
and your favorite cousin Clyde.
Today we're just talking about this patriarchy, misogyny, where it comes from, why it is, and how it continues to show up. And it's been and like I said, like, it's not all men, because I've been in situations where men have stepped up. I was in a situation where Pastor Allen stepped in when it was, what was happening was obviously like a dismissal of my whole self. And those moments I really appreciate, and we need more of those. So I'm not saying all men, and I've been in situations where men have come and touched my hand and said, I got you, sus. Mm-hmm. So it's not all men. I'm just saying it's too prevalent, if that makes sense.
For me, you mentioned something, and it might have been just the key, but you said the word weed. Yeah. In my hood research, what I've realized is that the more men that do substance and drugs, X, Y, and Z, are more feminine than anything else. And I think that actually comes from a place, because I'm a man, and I know that we have like our own man code. And
you're feminine.
Yeah, very, very feminine. Yeah. Love it. But but in our man code, there comes a time as a man, no matter in what space you are in, you have to uphold being a man, and you have to uphold having your integrity. And in a Black man code, your word is everything, right? And so I could be gay, I could be trans man, whatever the case may be, but in our spaces together, we have this moment amongst each other that is just like, bruh. That ain't cool. Like, you doing a little bit too much. And what I've realized that when I'm around other men, and party scenes and things like that, that is when the man is the most disrespectful, when he's intoxicated or he's doing these drugs. And we're doing
women
more,
too.
Yeah, and we're doing them more. But in our man code, we actually protect. We're supposed to protect women in those moments. Like, let her have her hair down, you know, take care of her, make sure she get home. Like,
but women, maybe there's no codes anymore. Maybe there's no value. I even say that in, like, in terms of gangs and street. Like, back in the day when we were part of gangs, Gangster Disciples, we were required to study the creed. There was principles. There was values we had to uphold. Yeah. There was structure.
There is no more code, because now you even see on social media, you see the parading of men abusing women.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's actually the
women fighting men.
Yeah. And it's like it's a cool thing now. Yeah. Where back in the day, a woman, I'm not saying women can get away with anything, but a woman, if a man put their hand on a woman in front of another man, he would violate him. Like, that would be It's like, I have to jaw you, because this is a violation.
Right.
It's just nowadays, it could be 10 men in the room, one man could be beating up a woman, and they would take their phones out and they would be like,
record it.
Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute, this is not normal.
Yeah, it's not normal. And I think it's happening in a lot of spaces, and not just men and women, but even people in general recording tragedies. Yeah. And like, instead of helping people and supporting people, people are recording it. So it might be like, when I talk about the nuances and complexities of some of our conversations, it might just be a humanity shift, a society shift. The demon is alive.
Okay.
And I think we need to get back in alignment with the spirit. Like, we have forgotten what love is. We have forgotten codes of humanity and values. So yeah, I said all of that. That was only supposed to take us like 5 minutes, but
it got good.
It did. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, and our
favorite cousin Clyde.
So when we return, we're going to talk about some local news, local politics, national news, national politics, and we're going to prime you for our We kind of are planning ahead and thinking ahead. We're going to have a panel and conversation regarding conversations that's been taken off in Twitter around trans women, trans men. So we want to get into that, but not too much because we don't have one here, a trans person here. So stay tuned here to 92.7 FM.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, y'all. It is your girl returning to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. Brandi Grayson with my hostess, coastess with the mostest, Clyde.
Sorry, your favorite cousin, Clyde. I'm sorry, y'all. We've been here all morning. Sorry.
We've been here 5 minutes, Clyde. You was late like a month.
I apologize.
Okay, Chad, what you want to talk about? Our last conversation, we were talking about the nuances of relationships, not relationships of, gender dynamics and general, trends that we're seeing in our world in different places, and codes that we used to have, values we used to stand for, that's no longer
present.
Not like it needs to be, in my opinion. And then we want to transition into another tough and muddy conversation, which is related to what?
We are going to transition into trans women and men attraction. Mm-hmm. If you have been on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or TikTok, you've probably saw down your timeline a very, very different conversation between NeNe Leakes and T.S. Madison. If you don't know who these individuals are, they are personnel. NeNe Leakes is a very popular woman from Real Housewives of Atlanta. And T.S. Madison is a prominent trans woman in the LGBTQ community. So the conversation was NeNe Leakes. It was a big conversation, but NeNe Leakes had said she could never date a man who dates trans women because she has just this weird speculation that he might be gay. And so T.S. jumps in and responds and tells NeNe Leakes that if a man is attracted to a trans woman, that doesn't necessarily make him gay. He is just attracted to women. And so NeNe Leakes in so many ways was just a little confused and was like, what do you mean if he's attracted to a trans woman that he's attracted to women? And T.S. Madison was trying to tell NeNe Leakes, like,
she's
trans women is women, right?
She's a woman,
I think sometimes we give men a lot in a way where we actually think they're really, really smart. And I'm starting to realize, like, men are actually not that smart. So when a man see a passable, and this is what we say in the community, passable means very fishy, very woman, look trans, they will just be attracted to the feminization of that person.
Yeah.
And so NeNe was still like, wait a minute, I'm still confused, because once he finds out or whatever the case may be, and T.S. Madison was just basically like, he doesn't know at that moment. Yeah. That is a woman.
And a lot of times they don't care.
Exactly. They're freaky deeksy. But in so many ways, that led to so many conversations. And one of the really cool conversations that it led to was also T.S. Madison said dark-skinned women should kind of tone down the transphobia, because once the trans women are knocked off of the totem pole, the next strike is black women.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so a lot of people chimed in and was like, wait a minute, are you trying to compare me to trans women because I'm dark? Is this colorism or whatever the case may be? But T.S. Madison was just basically saying, when you look at the rates of murder in the slang of black women, a lot of the cases, the men, and this has recently happened, killed a black woman who was a female and told the police because he thought she was trans. And she was just walking down the street. And it was actually a female. And people might need the correlation between female and women. So
It's really creep. I don't even have a word for it, but the hate is deep.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a deep-seated hate of self first, because why would you need to kill something because someone yeah. because you think she's a trans person. Like, I don't understand what kind of level of hate it is, yeah. but I will also say that it has to be self-hate, because deep down you're attracted to trans
yeah.
women.
And that upset you,
and
right?
now you're mad at you, and yeah. they become your target for abuse. I often wonder how that works too in like hetero relationships, because, you know, like I've mentioned, I've been in abusive relationships where men have gotten physical, not because I did something, but it's like the need to shrink you.
Yeah.
And the need, and I feel like it's related to insecurity. And I think one of the things you say is that, like you said, is like some men who really deep down hate women are
normally men who sleep with other men. No, seriously. And
oh my God, y'all. This is too
funny,
much
but
for
it's
me.
So
it's
scary.
Not.
But we want to make sure we are creating a space for people to understand, right? And so what we mean by that is like, we do normally see in our community, in the LGBT gay scene, that most men who is homophobic or who has this genuine hate for women normally is attracted to other men.
We need some data on this. Go to yeah, ChatGPT.
I'm going to have to get it. But I have said two things that I also want to clarify, because I think a lot of times in the world, we get these two things mixed up. So in our eyes, in the Black LGBTQ community, we see women as a social construct. Anybody can consider themselves a woman. It doesn't have anything to do with their actual born sex identity. And then as the word female within our community, that is a woman that is born with a vagina.
So
that,
biological term.
Yes.
So
yes.
Okay. In political spaces, they say not to call a woman a female because it's disrespectful to honor her by her.
What she wants to be called.
Right. Yeah. And because you don't call men males. You say men. You say that's a man, or what the men are doing. Or you never hear people say males. It's not something that you do. But you often hear people refer to women as females.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you guys know, it's disrespectful, because women are more than their genitals. You know, so
yeah.
it's to me, being a woman is not just a social construct. It's an embodiment, right?
Yeah.
Embodiment of certain types of energies and vibes and ability to move in the world. So I'll just say that, and I won't go too in depth in it. But that's all I got to say about that.
And for me, with that being said, and please, you guys, don't choke me
for
saying this.
Ooh, this ain't me. He said, I do not agree with everything he said.
Yes, right? But with what she just said, I totally, for me, feel like sometimes that can't be duplicated. Right. Like what the women have and how they move throughout the world and what they bring to the world, that can't always be duplicated by men and males. So
yeah,
I honor women.
Yeah.
And that's why I say that. I honor women. I honor females. I honor women, and I honor the things that they bring to the world. So don't choke me for saying that. But I don't think that a person that is not a woman can duplicate my mama.
Oh, Lord. This gets so complicated. See, that's why we need trans person. We're going to continue
but
this conversation.
Yes,
we will. Because I think it's a necessary conversation, especially for Black people, because we're more conservative than you think.
Yeah.
And we are problematic. So thank you for joining us here on the Black Conversion Show. Next week is going to get really juicy. Make sure you tune in with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson.
Sorry. And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Peace, love, and hair grease, y'all.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.